Welcome, Graham. Great to see you. Welcome. So just to give you an update, everyone, on the house. Oh, you don't remember, do you? Oh, this was only a couple of weeks ago. This is a message all about remembering. So I thought we'd start with a memory test. The house in Narracourt that's being built by a 90-year-old lady. Now do you remember? Good. And well, here it is. I hope. Just click it forward, please. There it is. Look at that. It's going up. It's going up. Just in a few weeks, things change. Things grow. And, of course, that is Peter's theme. For the whole letter, actually, the context is grow. How do you grow? You grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And remember when Peter says knowledge, he doesn't just mean information. He means entering into that experience of all that Jesus has done for us and all that God has given us as his people. And so let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for his passion to have the church growing, knowing you, Lord Jesus. Even after he departs the earth, he wants them to remember everything he's taught them. So we pray, Lord, that you'd teach us this morning by your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let me read again that text, which is all about Christian memory. This is the scripture from the New International Version. So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth that you now have. First question to ask, is that true of us? That was true of them. Are we firmly established in these truths that Peter is reminding us about? Secondly, I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ had made clear to me. Thirdly, and I'll make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things. A threefold call from Peter to remember. So I had a remembering experience this week. Actually, last Friday, I went and had dinner with a very good friend of mine who lives in Adelaide, Chris. We worked together in Indonesia for 7 years. Wonderful guy and a valuable asset to the church. But the reason I was invited by his wife, me and Diane together, was that Chris, who is 67, has Alzheimer's disease. You see, forgetting can be amusing. You know, like there's a German man who reached the border driving 150 kilometres, having forgotten his wife, leaving her in the cafe. True story. And she said afterwards, reflecting on the experience, well, he likes to focus when he's driving. He doesn't talk to me when we're driving. He has to keep his eyes on the road. She understood. But forgetting can also be devastating. So I know that Chris knows that I barrack for Collingwood. I know that. But as the Port Adelaide Essendon game was on the television during our visit, he turned to me and said, "You barrack for Port Adelaide, don't you?" I know he knows that I don't, but he thinks I do. It's very sad. And it made me sad. Sad for him. Sad for his spouse and his extended family. And here's the thing, just quietly, between you and me. The reason we were invited to visit is because people don't visit him now. Maybe it's too hard. too difficult, too many memories. So it was a real pleasure to spend some time with Chris. And I've said to him, because no one else is doing it, his wife works, look, Chris, I'll pick you up during the week for an hour and we'll have a coffee together. I'll take you out. He can't drive a car. But there's a greater tragedy, something that makes me really sad, and it made Peter sad. It was sad for himself, because he forgot. His memory failed. This is really personal for Peter. He forgot Jesus. He forgot Jesus. And I wonder, can you imagine with me the reason he writes three times, don't you forget, don't you forget, don't you forget. I'm going to make sure you remember. Even when I'm gone, you're going to remember. Is because he remembers his threefold denial of Jesus. He forgot the words of Jesus. And you remember when Jesus came to Peter after the resurrection by the Sea of Galilee? Three times Jesus said to Peter, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you really love me? There's something in Peter's life that brings an urgency to the words that he's writing to us this morning. It's right to refresh your memory. There are people who don't like being reminded. You one of those? I must admit, there are times when I don't like being reminded of things that, of course, you should know that I know. But we need to be reminded. The church forgets. Christians forget. We forget who we are. We forget why we are. It happened in the first century. It can happen in the 21st century. Then Peter remembered. The word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. And he went outside and he wept bitterly. And so for me inwardly, you know, for Peter inwardly, you know, I think of my visit to my friend and I weep inwardly at his forgetting, no fault of his own. But for Peter, you know, this weeping, this acknowledgement, I should have remembered. I have to remember. I have to remember Jesus. So for Peter, it's very personal. These are not just words on a page. This is his life experience, which he does not want repeated in the life of the church. But for him, it's also theological. In chapter 3, we read, above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. They will say, or should say, scoffing and following their evil desires, they will say, where is this coming? He promised. Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget. You see, there's forgetting, and then there's forgetting. And when there's a deliberate forgetting, false teachers in the first century, why do they deliberately forget? They deliberately forget the fact of judgment. And they do that deliberately because they want to follow their own evil desires without consequence. That's Peter's point. And so Peter knows all about remembering and forgetting. And so he wants the church to urgently take seriously this theme. You know, Jesus promised that the Holy Spirit would bring to our memory the words that he said. He said this to the disciples. And the fact that we have a New Testament is proof perfect that the Holy Spirit does and did indeed bring to recall to their minds the words of Jesus. So we're so thankful for the ministry of the Spirit. You know, after the resurrection, remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee, the angel said, saying that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise. And they remembered his words, implying they had not remembered them until they were now reminded of them. Well, have you heard of this condition? HSAM. It's a real condition. It's called highly superior autobiographical memory. 60 people only in the world suffer from this condition. They've got such great memories that they can remember in graphic detail virtually every day of their life. Would you like to have that kind of memory? Definitely not. Remembering every painful, every sad? No. A psychologist has said this very wisely. It's the peculiar mixture in our mind of both forgetting and remembering is what is built the keel of the ship of our mental life. Forgetting and remembering is important psychologically. There are some things we just wouldn't want to remember. And he goes on to say that you'll be as sick and ill if you remembered everything as if you remembered nothing. So when we talk about remembering, we're talking about biblical memory, the biblical words of Jesus and then communicated through the apostles and prophets, of course. Biblical remembering is very healthy. You know, in Lamentations, sadly lamenting the destruction of Jerusalem. Jeremiah says, "This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. The many kindnesses of the Lord." We've heard a testimony from Cheryl this morning of the kindness of the Lord. And I'm sure Cheryl's going to recall that. She'll bring it to mind, not just today, but on other times. Yes, he does love me. He does see me. He does know me. He does care. He does remember me. And so this is a challenge for all Christians everywhere to do what Tim did today. Jesus taught us to remember through symbol. Do this in remembrance of me. So God gives us symbols, he gives us sacraments, he gives us songs, he gives us the scripture, he gives us a community we remember better together so that we might remember the Lord. And this is Peter's goal for the church as he writes to them, knowing that he's soon to die. Jesus told him that. Do you remember at the end of John's Gospel? Peter, someone's going to take you to a place where you do not want to go. You're going to be executed like I was, we believe, traditionally, except upside down. And so whether Peter's alive on earth or alive with Jesus in eternity, he wants us to remember. So how's your memory, your biblical memory, your Christian memory? It does take effort. It's not an easy thing that just happens because we come to a church or grow up into a Christian family or go to a conference. It doesn't mean we've actually remembered what God wants us to recall. So I'll always remind you of these things. What things? What things? Well, everything he's told us already in chapter 1, those things that Max read out previously, we've received a precious faith. Remember that. We've received abundant grace and peace. Remember that. We've received divine power. Remember that. Everything we need for a godly life. Remember that. Very great and precious promises. Remember that. We participate in the divine nature. Remember that. We've escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Remember that. This is what we're meant to remember on Monday morning and on Wednesday morning and on Thursday afternoon and on Saturday evenings. Remember these things. These are the things we're meant to remember. And if I may say, and Neil will be happy for me to share this, we were talking on the prayer meeting on Saturday and talking to Joe, something about like the victorious life, you know, in Christ, remember? And Neil turned to Joe and said, do you feel that? But of course, before we feel it, we have to remember it. It's true whether we feel it or not. Peter says, remember these things. Bring them to mind. Do you need to take a photo right now and print it out and put it on your fridge, somewhere, on your desk? Remember. Remember to make every effort. How's it been going the last 3 or so weeks? We talked about making every effort. Add to your faith, not add faith, but furnish out your faith. Put up the walls and the framework of goodness and brotherly kindness, all the virtues of the Christian faith. Make every effort. Join in the chorus. How are you going? Confirming your calling. You know, it's interesting, isn't it? We have an AGM next Sunday and people have been called into positions. But there's a sense that we confirm those things, even ourselves, as we come to God and we ask him, what's your heart, Lord, for the church? What's your will for me? We actively do these things. Peter said, remember to do this. And if you do these things, you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What an incentive to remember. There is one aspect of Christian life that I think has gone out of favour. It used to be extremely important when I became a Christian, particularly so in the church I attended, but also like in university groups. And it was called scripture memorisation. Do you remember that? Remember when people used to memorise scripture? And I'm sure some of you still do. That's a wonderful way to remember. When I was a young Christian, I was challenged by a man who said, one day, he said, you may be somewhere where you don't have a Bible, and today a phone. Could you remember anything with any accuracy about what God has said? That really challenged me. So I challenge you, could you? So what did I do? I don't say this because it's me doing it especially. I just did what others did. I started memorizing scripture. I memorized all of 1 Peter. I memorized all of 2 Peter. How did I do it? I was going to university. I was 19 years of age. I wrote down 3 verses a day on pieces of paper and I took them with me to university, and every 2 or 3 hours I just check in, say it, underline what I remembered, go back and try again, and, you know, over time, it sticks. It still sticks today. And it was so helpful to me in Indonesia when I didn't have a Bible, to be able to share 1 Peter with people. for your own inward life, it's good. And for the outward life of the Christian, it's good. Can I challenge you? It's a very important part of Christian discipleship, Christian formation. What if we lose our memory? What if we're Chris? What if I'm Chris? What if I can't remember Jesus? This is a wonderful verse. This is the first verse in the Bible which accords God remembering. And that's the point. God remembered Noah. So much is talked about, you know, our remembering the Lord, and it's important. But, you know, if I don't remember the Lord, I'm so grateful that he will remember me. In fact, that's the bedrock of my whole life. God remembers me. There's my security. Even when I can't remember him, he'll remember me. Isn't that wonderful? And we have that fleshed out on the cross, don't we? That beautiful, you know, Jesus, remember me. And he did. And he does. He's caused his wonders to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food, letters for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. You know, there is something that God forgets. He forgets our sins. That's wonderful. It doesn't mean he forgets them in the way that we think of forgetting, as if God can forget anything. He's God. It literally means he makes a decision and a choice never to raise the issue of our sin ever again and hold it against us. He forgets our sins, but he remembers his people. So I want you to be encouraged. You know, God remembers us. He knows us. He remembers us here and now. He remembers us through the week. But the challenge from Peter is, will we do everything we can to remember him and then recommend him in our remembering to all those people we know who have forgotten him? Let's pray. So, Father, thank you for your word. Lord, we're so grateful that you keep your promises of love. You keep your covenant forever. Lord, you've made a blood covenant. We've celebrated that this morning to forgive sinners and to call them into a family called your church. Lord, help us to enter into all that this means and give us sharp, ready minds to listen to you and to acknowledge you and to remind ourselves and others of how great you are and how good you are. We thank you and praise you in your wonderful name. Amen.